Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Love and Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
Not bad.
Well, you know how we do, you know, Sunday night, early Sunday morning, we're going to talk some sports, entertainment, as usual. We're going to lead off with big news in baseball. Mike Piazza and Ken Griffey Jr. will be inducted into the Hall of Fame later this year. We'll talk about that momentarily. We'll also talk about Tom Coughlin stepping down as the Giants head coach and possibly coaching another team in the NFC East. We'll get into that. Also, we'll also talk about the Jets and them failing to reach the playoffs when they had all the opportunity to do it on last Sunday, against the Bills. We'll get into that also. Also, the Knicks, their recent loss with the Spurs, their old-time nemesis. And of course, the Rangers, they recently battled the Washington Capitals. We'll get into that also. And of course, lastly, we'll talk about sports entertainment, a little WWE news, and the historic, unprecedented Royal Rumble title defense that Roman Reigns will be having at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view event later this month. And of course, most importantly, Mac, I know you know the number for the show, and that would be
917-388-4189.
It's 917-388-4189. So feel free to share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. And with that, let's talk about the biggest news this week, and that's the Hall of Fame. And Mike Piazza, he finally goes in the fourth time's a try after, you know, narrowly missing, you know, getting elected the past 3 years. Mike Piazza, you know, he needed 75% of the voting, the voters to vote him in to the Hall of Fame. But this time he got in with 83% of the vote. And, of course, you know, the bigger story is Ken Griffey Jr. Only three voters didn't vote for him to get in. So he got 99% of the voting for him to go in. And as a result, he surpassed Tom Seaver, Tom Terrific, of course, you know, the legendary Met pitcher who also pitched, you know, with the White Sox and the Reds throughout his illustrious career. Mike Piazza, of course, you know, he's going in, and he's going to join Tom Seaver as the only two Met players to go in, you know, go into the Hall of Fame as a, you know, as a Met. So that's an awesome honor, and congrats to both men. And you know, it's eerily funny is that a long time ago, I think it was, 1995, they both were on the cover of Sports Illustrated with both of them holding a bat. And it said, so good, so young, or so young, so good. Basically, seeing the potential of both men, you know, and they were just scratching the surface of their iconic careers. Of course, you know, Griffey would later be traded to Reds when he vetoed a trade that would have sent him to the Mets, where Piazza and him would have been teammates. And I think if that would have happened, both of those guys would have won a title. But unfortunately, you know, Griffey wanted to go to the Reds where, you know, his family had history over there. And of course, Piazza, he got traded to the Marlins for a week, and then he got traded to the Mets, and the rest is history. And Mike Piazza might be arguably the best position player in Mets history. I mean, you have him, you have Daryl Strawberry as the two power guys, you know, to ever put on a Mets uniform. And congratulations to Mike Piazza. He finally takes his rightful place, becoming the first player with the lowest draft selection to make it to the Hall of Fame. And, of course, Griffey became the first ever number one draft pick to get inducted to the Hall of Fame, and the first Seattle Mariner to go into the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to both men. What's your thoughts on this, Mac?
Well, I think both players are well-deserving. I mean, Griffey, you know, during the 90s, you know, one of the most feared hitters in baseball. And Piazza, you know, he's definitely one of the best Mets players of all time and one of the best hitting catchers of all time as well. So he's well-deserving. I think both of these guys look forward to seeing their speeches on when they get inducted, you know, during Hall of Fame Day. But it's well-deserving, you know. They both deserve it. They both had great careers.
Absolutely. This, even though there's only two men, but they were two well-deserving, and it's a very interesting class, even though it's just two men, you know. Both men well-deserved. Like you said, I'm really looking forward to hearing what both of these guys have to say, you know, at the Hall of Fame speeches. And, yes, it should be an awesome day in the summer. And I'm speechless. I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, that's right. Mets, you know, are expected to finally retire his, you know, his number 31 jersey, since no one after he left the Mets after the 2005 season, no one has ever wore the number 31. So, you know, we should find out momentarily when his number will finally be retired. And another thing is Mets, you know, this is the 20th anniversary of the Mets winning their last World Series championship. So they're going to honor their players, you know, in May when they battle the Dodgers. So that weekend they're going to be, you know, celebrating the legendary 86 team with the aforementioned Daryl Strawberry, Doc Gooden, Ron Darling, Keith Hernandez, the late Gary Carter, and the rest, Mookie Wilson. You know, it should be awesome, and hopefully Sandy Alderson will surprise everybody and try to make a splashy move and you know, put them over the top, because right now this current Met team, they have the pitching. You know, they got Harvey and DeGrom and Syndergaard. Wheeler should be coming back, you know, off his Tommy John surgery in about June. Cologne returns as the fifth man / long man once Wheeler returns, and of course the second year player entering this year would be Steven Matz. So the Mets pitching is awesome. I mean, I like the additions of Neil Walker and Drubal Cabrera, but other than that, they don't have anybody who's scary in the offense. They don't have any power guy, if you want to count Lucas Duda, which he's up and down, and David Wright, I think his days as a feared 30 home run guy, that's long gone. I mean, you know, he has the spinal stenosis, so if you get 20 home runs out of him, I mean, that's a blessing right there. And if you could find a way to stay healthy, I mean, that'd be awesome. So right now, Mets don't have that feared offensive guy. And in order for them to return to a World Series, and hopefully this time upset the Royals or whoever gets in as the American League team, they need one more fearsome bat, and they clearly don't have that. I mean, Grandison had a great year. You know, Cespedes, you know, he had that awesome regular season power barrage, but he's most likely not coming back because Mets are not going to spend the money, even though he's still a free agent. Justin Upton is out there, 26-year-old guy, hit, 26 home runs or so, knocking a career high, 103 RBIs, would be perfect in a Met uniform, but that's not going to happen either. So I don't – we'll see what happens. Mets are going to hope that Conforto turns into that power guy that they expect him to be, you know, off his rookie year this past season. And, yeah, the Mets have to cross their fingers, basically. And another thing is Paul DePodesta. He was in the front office. He was a former GM with the Dodgers many years ago. He left the Mets to be the chief strategy officer for the Cleveland Browns. Not even a baseball team. He left the Mets to go to the same capacity, but with the Cleveland Browns, man. He left the MLB to go to the NFL. So that's a really surprising move right there.
Yeah.
And what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. That's crazy, man. Wow.
And, you know, he's a unprecedented.
Yeah. That is unheard of.
But, you know, congrats to him. Hopefully, you know, he'll have success with the Browns, and hopefully the Mets will win the World Series somehow, you know, with this great pitching, and hopefully these guys can have some timely hitting and play much better defense than they did in the World Series.
Yeah, the Mets definitely needed some offense in this offseason. They didn't really address it, so, you know, hopefully they can get some hitting. They can find some hitting somewhere, because if they go into this upcoming season with what they have right now, they're not going to go back to the World Series. I mean, they need a big bat in the lineup. That's a major need.
I totally agree with you, man. I think they're taking their awesome pitching for granted. You know, they only have like a few more years with this awesome pitching, because, you know, in about like 3 years or so, a lot of these guys are going to be, they're going to be free agents, or, you know, so unless Mets can find some way to make more money, or, you know, spend it wisely and lock up these guys, their window of winning a championship is closing very, very quickly. So Sandy Alderson has to wave another magic wand. I know he last year he did win the Baseball Executive of the Year. But, you know, he has experience winning a title with the Oakland A's in 89. But we don't have Canseco or Maguire or any of their, you know, special enhancement stuff that they had to help them, you know, hit those home runs, you know, 500 feet or whatever. So,
yeah.
Alderson got to find a way to get this Mets team to, you know, get more timely hitting and, you know, at times, you know, swing for the fences.
Yeah, for real.
We'll see what happens.
Because like you said earlier, I mean, David Wright does still, you know, he's – David Wright, you know, I mean, he's in his – David Wright's at his peak right now, you know.
Well,
and
he's past it. He's past his peak now. I mean,
but he's past his prime.
Yeah, I'd say 05, 06. I'd say those were his prime years. 07, but like once 09 hit, when Citi Field came, that was the end of his prime. You know, this year he hasn't stayed healthy enough. But yeah, he has the same problem that Don Mattingly had, which, you know, ended Mattingly's awesome career with the Yankees.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully for him, the same thing doesn't happen to him, because, you know, Don Mattingly, he had an awesome career, but unfortunately, he was 1 year short of winning a title with the Yankees, you know, when they won it all in '96. And, of course, you know, Piazza and Griffey, they didn't win a title. So, you know, that's why Mets have to spend the money, because, you know, if you take it for granted with the awesome pitching that they have, they'll win it. It's not set in stone. Look at the Braves of the 90s. They won in 95, but, you know, with that awesome pitching, or even the 86 team, you would assume they would have put up they would have won at least two or three more titles, but that didn't happen. So
yeah,
Alderson has to look for a deal or sign a free agent to put them over the top, because right now this hot stove is really cold. And Drew Storen, he got traded from the Nationals to the A's. I mean, no, not to the A's, the Blue Jays. So that basically clear up the whole Papelbon storing closer debacle. But now that means Papelbon's going to stay with Bryce Harper. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic, how those guys are going to be teammates after the brawl, you know, this past season. So that's another thing to look at. Ford and Daniel Murphy finally got introduced as, you know, the Nationals' infielder, and he revealed that he got thanked, you know, he received thanks from his from Sherry Collins, the Mets manager, and his former teammates. So he's going to be facing the Mets, I think, in May. So that's going to be an interesting reception he'll get. I think he'll get a standing ovation his first time up, and then after that he'll receive boos here, you know, right after, especially if he gets a big hit in his first at bat against the Mets at Citi Field. So, but moving on along, the other big news in this week was, of course, Tom Coughlin. He stepped down as the Giant head coach. Had a phenomenal career with the Giants. Led him to 2 Super Bowl championships against the Patriots. And I don't know if you heard. Guess where he's rumored to be the next head coach, possibly?
The Eagles.
Correct. There's rumors that he's going to audition with the Eagles very soon. So if he goes to the Eagle, that's going to be really scary right there.
Yeah, well, it would definitely be, you know, weird seeing him after all these years with the Giants, seeing him coaching on the other sideline with the Eagles, for our rival, the Eagles. But, you know, he has to do what he has to do. You know, he's a great coach. You know, he won us 2 Super Bowls. And it's time for him to move on. And hopefully, if he does go to the Eagles, he'll help them win as well. But not against the Giants.
Well, yeah, of course. And, you know, he had a heartfelt speech where, you know, he had a heartfelt speech basically telling Eli that, you know, their recent struggles of making the playoffs these past couple of years, it wasn't his fault, and that, you know, he couldn't have a person that could have been a son to him, you know. So, you know, he has high regards for Eli, and as you know, Eli has mutual respect for the only coach he ever played for. So that's going to be a interesting, it's going to be an interesting year for Eli, whoever is the new head coach of the Giants will be. But, you know,
yeah.
Eli is a professional. He'll move on and try to get the Giants back to where the Giant fans want them to be and hoist that Vince Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, definitely.
And another thing, if Tom Coughlin signs with the Eagles, they might have a Rex Ryan scenario. And unfortunately, last week the Jets, they had a chance to make it to the playoffs with a win in their end scenario against the Bills, and unfortunately they blew that game. Ryan Fitzpatrick had his worst game as a Jet. He had, I think, 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, and Brandon Marshall and Decker, you know, they both had, you know, touchdowns. So Brandon Marshall, he set the I think the Jets reception record, but unfortunately they didn't go to the playoffs. They lost, and then I think the Steelers won. So of course, they were eliminated. You know, they had a 10-6 season. Before the season, you would have signed up for that, but it was just a horrible end to a promising season. And Steelers, they won just a few minutes ago, about a half hour ago, against the Browns. The Bengals. And they advance. So What's your whole thoughts on the Jets situation going on?
Well, the Jets had a chance to win it, you know, in that final game. They didn't. They blew their shot at that play, at the playoffs. But going forward, yeah, you definitely have to have Fitzpatrick as your quarterback. Can't put Geno back in there. And they have a I like Decker and Marshall. I mean, that's a great, you know, 1-2 punch at wide receiver to have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best wide receivers in AFC. Two of the best wide receivers in AFC, I should say. So, I mean, they should definitely have a great year next year, you know, and hopefully make the playoffs this time, you know, because, well, I think they finished the season, what, 10-6?
Yeah, right? 10-6.
So,
and
the NFC, that could have been good enough to go to the playoffs, maybe. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, the NFC East, man. Yeah, they definitely would have made it, for sure.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for them, they're in the AFC East, and, you know, they had their shot, and unfortunately they have to deal with the Patriots, who had the bye this week, you know, because obviously they have the top spot, you know, in the AFC East as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Todd Ball has to, you know, get McKagan, you know, to re-sign Fitzpatrick. And, you know, hopefully next year and his and Brandon Marshall's playoff list streak. And we'll see what happens this upcoming season.
Yeah.
And speaking of playoff list streak, the Knicks, man, they were playing better recently after they had a bad stretch of losing a bunch of games, but they've been playing a lot better. I think they had a 3-game winning streak coming into the Spurs game on I think it was Friday night, but unfortunately, the Knicks, you know, they failed to hit the game-winning three or even a regular shot. I was watching the game, and I was furious. You know, they had a typical Knicks. They were down a point, 100-99. All they needed was a bucket. But Melo, you know, I thought he should have passed it to Porzingis, but he passed it to Calderon for a three, a wide-open three. But, you know, it was no good, and the Knicks lost 100-99. So Knicks are now nine. They lost 9 straight games to the Spurs or something like that. So, you know, Knicks played they played a good game, you know, late in the game. But Spurs, man, they know how to win.
Yeah, and, they were close.
Spurs
aren't came back.
They just know how to win. You know, Spurs and Warriors, man. That's going to be the Western Conference Finals right there. And so, you know, Knicks, they blew that opportunity. And Knicks, you know, they got to hopefully bounce back and win some games so they can get back to 500. But already they surpassed last night. Yeah, they did. But unfortunately, the Spurs know how to win. And as a result, Knicks lose again. But fortunately, the Knicks, they surpassed last year's total. And hopefully the Knicks will continue to play well. Porzingis had a great game. He had 28 points and 11 rebounds. He against the Spurs, but that wasn't enough, as you know. And Porzingis, he won back-to-back, Rookie of the Month award. So congrats to him, you know.
Congrats.
First two months of the year, he's won. Yeah, I mean, of this, you know, season, you know, he's won these last two, you know, months. You know, he's won, so congrats to him. And, hopefully he can keep it up and get the Knicks into, you know, playoff berth in his rookie season. But, Yeah, a lot of basketball to be played. And the Rangers, they lost to the Capitals, and you know that's their rivals that they you know they've defeated recently. But today was not that day. They had like a lead, like a 3-2 lead, but in 6 seconds the Capitals tied the game, and then they lost in overtime by the final score of I think what 4-3. So you know, tough loss for the Rangers. Hopefully they'll rebound and you know, get back to the you know, Stanley Cup, you know, later on. But lastly, the WWE, Roman Reigns will defend his title in the Royal Rumble match for the first time ever. As you recall, Ric Flair, he won the WWE title when the title was vacated a long time ago. But this is the first time the title has been, you know, there's actually a winner. Someone's actually trying to defend the title at the Royal Rumble. So this is the second time in the history of WWE that the title is on the line at the Royal Rumble event. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, the first time you're going to have a champion defending his title in the Royal Rumble. Yeah, I mean, that's unheard of. I can't wait to see it.
I totally agree with you. To me, I think this could be potentially the best Royal Rumble match if they play their cards right. You know,
yeah.
Having the title defended at the Royal Rumble, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. WWE better not botch this opportunity. And
yep.
Speaking of not botching an opportunity, there's rumors that the Bullet Club, which has AJ Styles, you know, the great TNA legend who was recently in New Japan, this Japanese wrestler Nakamura, I think his name is, you know, Doc Gallows, who used to be Luke Gallows when he was in the Straight Edge Society, and some other wrestlers, they're rumored to be going to WWE. Even some of the WWE wrestlers, like Finn Balor, who apparently was part of the Bullet Club previously, there's rumors that he's going to start his own faction called the Balor Club and have those guys, basically, the Bullet Club, since Bullet Club is, they can't use that name because New Japan has the rights to it, so there's rumors that it's going to happen because Finn Balor has been teasing about this rumored Balor Club, and other wrestlers, WWE superstars, have been teasing it. Even WWE actually wrote a column about the rumor, and they never do that. So it looks like there's smoke, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. It looks like it's going to happen. It might even go down around Royal Rumble, and Brock Lesnar should be returning on Monday night. So that should
be
interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
And it would be awesome if AJ Styles actually finally joined WWE. I mean, I know he had like a warm-up match before he went to TNA and became a superstar, but this would be his first official opportunity in WWE if he does come. It kind of reminds me of NWO. You know, when NWO came in 2002, you know, hopefully WWE won't botch that opportunity.
Yeah.
And then potentially have a Balor Club versus, you know, the Wyatt family, or even a reformed Shield, you know, once Seth Rollins returns and maybe turns into a babyface eventually.
I can see it.
Should be interesting, you know, event if that does happen. They might even, like I said, they might even debut at Royal Rumble. Or maybe this Raw, who knows? It's very interesting what they're going to do. But lastly, Heath Slater's new group, The Social Outfits. It has Curtis Axel, the guy who's in the group.
Bo
Dallas. Yeah, and what's the guy? I see his face. What's his name? Axel Rose?
Axel Rose,
yeah. What's
his
name, that guy? Adam Rose, I mean.
Adam Rose, right.
Somebody else. I can't even remember the other person. But, you know, I just think it's going to be a jobber group. Nothing serious is going to come of it. But I'm looking really forward to Monday Night Raw and the Royal Rumble. You have any last words you'd like to say?
Check out my show, IMAX, Saturdays at 11. Come back here, check out Sports of Legend, Sundays at midnight.
You heard the man. Check out this show, Sundays at midnight. Check out his show, IMAX, every Saturday at 11. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of Sports of Religion with me, Lady Mamo, and of course my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next week. And Happy New Year.